Turning to the Big Island and Kilauea volcano, there's a chance our trade winds could disappear next week. So what does that mean for our air quality in the communities in Puna and Hilo? We caught up with EPA's Jason Rosante, who's part of a special team sent in from the West Coast. We spoke with him yesterday afternoon as he was out in the field helping to set up 10 additional air monitoring stations.
We were asked to help out the state and the county by bringing in additional air monitoring instruments so that they can see what might be going downwind or affecting the surrounding communities around where all the fissure areas are. The types of instruments we've brought in will measure the air for sulfur dioxide, hydrogen sulfide, and we'll also have instruments for particulates. We've deployed those in coordination with Hawaii County Civil Defense and Hawaii State Department of Health, to try to get information in communities that are nearby and surrounding the fissure area. So there are many locations around, kind of in a ring, like a perimeter, so that if the winds were to change or based on the current wind patterns, there can be some information that can go to the mayor's office for making decisions about the community. We want to make sure that the mayor's office and Hawaii County Civil Defense and also Hawaii Department of Health have the information they need to be able to get public messaging out to keep people safe.
So my understanding is that you really need to be in an area, though, where there's power and cell phone coverage.
Yeah. So one of the things about our instruments is we have a telemetry system on there. So it sends the information it's collecting up in real time to the Internet. And then someone at the county EOC or with Hawaii Department of Health, people can view what's going on. We also have that information going to the fire department, so they can make decisions based on health and safety and other things. So we need cell phone service to get the signal out to the Internet. Power is a consideration. We do have a preference to be able to be plugged in to shore power, as we call it. However, we can run off a battery for a limited amount of time, a couple of days, and then we'd have to change the batteries out. So we have a little flexibility.
Where you're at right now, you're good with the power and cell phone coverage.
We are pretty good in most communities. There are some areas that are directly downwind of where the trades are blowing emissions from the fissures, that there's a lack of cell phone coverage. We found some workarounds for that, and we're working with the cell phone companies to see how they may be able to get us access to the areas that we'd like to get into right now with a mobile solution. The cell phone providers have been very accommodating, and they're working through FEMA to try to help us with this need and try to get more cell phone coverage in the parts of the island right now south of the fissures where there really isn't any cell phone signal.
But do those cell phone towers need juice? Do they need electricity as well?
The more permanent locations that they're trying to site to ensure the integrity of their network will require that. The portable solution is possible. They can run it off of solar for us, and this is kind of an emergency need we have, and hopefully there'll be a longer-term solution for the cell providers in the short future.
Right, because we don't know how long this is going to last.
That's true. That's true. And I also know the cell companies are trying to make sure that if there's any damage to their existing installations, they have the ability to keep the networks up and running.
Right, because I believe the power company is operating on less than optimal juice themselves with the PGV plant out of commission.
Yeah, that's true. I think there's also just considerations if there's damage or something happens at where the current cell phone towers are. The providers want to make sure they can keep their network integrity up.
Right, because you're relaying valuable information for those first responders.
Exactly. Not only first responders, but also back to the mayor's office and civil defense so they can be aware of the needs of the communities.
Is your team then monitoring these stations on site like 24 hours a day? Are you doing it in shifts, or how does that work?
So the feed that goes to the Internet is being monitored 24 hours a day. We're working with the Fire Incident Command to make sure that they have ability to view that. And we're working with the United States Coast Guard Pacific Strike Team. It's an asset as a special team to EPA we can use. And right now they're embedded with the fire incident management and are looking at that real-time feed of information 24/7.
And if I recall that most of your team is from the West Coast, from California?
That's correct. We have some contractor staff and EPA staff, and it's mixed between West Coast and East Coast folks because we have a national organization, so we can pull from many different locations.
But you folks have the expertise in dealing with situations like this, whether they're wildfires or lava flow.
Yeah, we have experts in air monitoring and air monitoring capabilities to help us figure out what's the best instrument to use, and also on the technological side, to make sure we have communication with those instruments and that data telemetry works well.
And as far as the need then to expand or add any additional monitoring sites, I know the acting region head, Alexis Strauss, was here, and she'd mentioned that, if FEMA asks for more and if we can, we will get more staff or equipment on the ground.
Yeah, EPA's main goal always is to help the community stay safe and to help our partners at the state and county level with whatever resources they need. So currently we're working through fire and the mayor's office and civil defense to see if they have any other priorities for where they'd like us to put stations. Additionally, Hawaii Department of Health is working on increasing that capacity of air monitoring for the medium to long term.
And we're pretty fortunate right now because of the trades, from what I understand. But then if that changes, does your game plan change?
You know, that's why we have a network of sensors that are in many different directions and for the communities that would be affected in many different directions around the Fisher area. So you're right. We are very fortunate for the trade winds because they push it to the southwest and away from many different communities. But there are communities down on that side of the island, too, that are then more likely to receive the downwind impacts. If the winds die off like they did last week and there was the Kona winds, the potential for emissions from this to spread out in many different directions is there. And that's why we have a monitoring system in many different directions.
And I know the priority is to keep staff safe. And hopefully if you folks are in areas where they're fairly populated and where there's electricity, that you folks are out of harm's way as well.
You know, once we are, thank you. We're going to always work safely. And when we go and set them up in communities, we want to make sure that, that's going to make sure they're safe. So even if we have a need to get something into an area where there are potential hazards, we're trained and have the equipment to make sure we can get in there and do the work safely.
And because you are being brought in special for this event, I mean, and we don't know how long this eruption is going to last, but as far as your team, I mean, what's the expectation that they'll be deployed out here for how long? What's the situation there?
You know, it's a very dynamic event, and we're not exactly sure of the duration or how other resources may be available as the state is able to get more things online to fill the need that exists right now. EPA Region 9 and nationally is here to support the state and the county for whatever term of time they may need.
Okay, so at least you'll spell some folks, and then you might need spelling at some point, too.
Yeah, we have a staffing plan for rotation and overlap with staff so we can keep everybody fresh and make sure we're able to do our best job.
That was EPA's on-scene coordinator, Jason Musante. You can listen back to this segment on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.